All right, guys, it's Friday. We're going to make a phone call. We're going to answer a group question. I always like these. If you have questions and you have the balls and chops to step up to the plate and actually have a phone call with me, a lot of us get to learn from the interaction that myself and this person will have on the phone, because the question that this guy's going to pose is going to be the same question. And you guys are, some of you are have lingering in your mind. So I'm going to give him a call first and we'll go from there. Let's see here. Should be standing by for my phone call. Turn the volume up here, make sure everybody can hear this. He posed this question to me yesterday. I'm like, just do another phone call.
Hello?
All right, we're back, dude. So pose the question.
Okay, well, it's a couple of questions. The first question is, I just need a little help on basically moving interdiction. Like I say, a lot of times we can't just sit in a certain spot. It's the way we patrol, and they have us set up as a team. And I would just like some more tips on moving interdiction.
All right. So first of all, I want to encourage anybody who's watching this video to add their thoughts in the comments section of it. I didn't do a lot of moving interdiction, but I did do some moving interdiction. And basically, it really depends what your area looks like. You have a lot of red lights. Are you just straight on a highway? Is it straight highway shooting for miles? Like, you tell me.
Well, in certain areas, we have highway that's about 60 miles long that runs through the county. But there are other areas, like we'll have two-lane roads where you might have a couple of stop signs or turns. Like I said, they have us basically going all over the county to work. And in certain areas, you'll be in a housing area where you have like speed bumps and different stuff. So it varies for us, because they have us moving to different areas. So we might be in four different areas throughout the day. So
gotcha. So, dude, basically this, I think if you have commerce in those areas as well, like what I mean by that is if you have businesses and hotels, this is my advice. This is not the only advice. This is just the stuff that I have to offer you. I would tell you this, that we always got to remember to focus on reactions, right? That's going to be the thing that's going to give away these people and what they're doing. So paying attention to what's going on in the roadway, what they're doing, how they're driving. Are they looking back in the rear view? When you drive next to them and you look right directly into their car, what are they doing? You know, are they nervous that you're there? You know, are they suddenly turning off the highway? And dude, just constantly scanning, you know, constantly keeping your eyes out. If you have the ability to make U-turns while you're traveling down this two-lane highway, that, you know, pay attention to traffic on the other side too. Just, it takes practice. Like a lot of people will say, oh, dude, like I tried doing that, but I didn't see anything. Yeah, you got to go out and try it quite a few times before you start getting the knack of it. You know, like it takes some time to figure out how you're going to do it. You're going to have to try and practice. And then all of a sudden, you're going to start getting good at it. And when you get good at it, this becomes very addicting to be able to be an effective police officer, to go out and see things that other people aren't seeing because you know how to pay attention. And you're just going to try to look for those anomalies, those differences in driving behaviors. And, you know, you look for other indicators as well. But essentially, those differences in driving behaviors are going to lead you to believe that the person you're looking at is probably engaged in some kind of illegal activity. And that could be anything, again, from a suspended license all the way up to wanted for murder and everything in between. So, dude, I think that's, you're going to have to drive. Pay attention, look into cars. Don't be bashful about kind of keeping an eye on what people are doing. See what the cars behind you are doing. See what the cars in front of you are doing. See what the cars side of you are doing. And then kind of pull it up next to them. You can. I've seen this tactic. I used to use it myself, and I would just look into the car to see what their reaction. I mean, literally almost stare at them in the car. I tell a story of that in class, you know, and have the guy then rolled his window down to engage me in conversation to try to deter me from stopping his vehicle. Ended up pulling him over and finding a substantive... substantial amount of possession with intent to distribute of marijuana. So hopefully that's something you can elaborate and build on. And like I said, anybody who's watching this video, if you want to put in the comments section, he'll pay attention to any other advice that you may have. But for this video, that's probably the piece of advice I can give you. I can't emphasize enough to everybody in this group that the fastest way to get acclimated and be better at becoming an interdiction officer or an effective police officer, even if you have 3, 4, 5 years on the job, is to deploy humility, be humble, and find that guy or girl who is out there doing it, who has that reputation, like, yo, they kill it, and give them a call, reach out to them via Facebook or this message, or this, just, you know, or however you contact another police officer where you are, give them a call on their cell phone, call their headquarters. Hey, let me get Joey's cell phone number. And dude, see if you can take some time and go do a ride along with that person. I think there's nothing more effective. Or if you're looking to get that, you know, really, really rapid acceleration into becoming a very efficient interdiction guy, there's nothing more effective than getting with somebody, sitting in the car with them and watching what they're looking for and picking their brain and let them explain to you what they're seeing. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, dude, can you do a video on like cars to pick? Like that video? Yeah, we can, but it's hard to see the things that we're looking for through the lens of a smartphone or a camera, right? We can explain them. You have to try to imagine it, but it's hard. You have to experience these things. You have to know what it looks like and what it feels like in order to understand what you're looking for. All right, so that's my answer to the first question. Go with the second question.
The next question is like, I would stop a vehicle, but then I'll, you know, won't go further into the stop. Like, I know it might be something in there, but then, you know, it might be a person. Like, I stopped an individual that was going, you know, to a certain destination. The vehicle seemed all right. Like I said, the person was in the army, said they was going to visit their mother. And, you know, I just didn't feel like I needed to take the stop any further. I never got them out of the vehicle. But then after I finished with it, I probably should have done a little bit more. Like, I'm still having a problem talking myself out of going to that next level on these traffic stops.
Yeah, so basically, dude, this is a confidence issue, right? You have a confidence issue. The first resolution to this is making sure that your administration will have your back when you push the envelope, quote unquote. Because it's not pushing the envelope, but to anybody who doesn't understand interdiction, like if I was your boss, I'd be like, yo, why didn't you push the envelope? But if you got a guy who like doesn't understand what you're doing or proactive patrols or uncomfortable with it and he's a politician, whatever it may be, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to communicate that with them. So secondly, here's my advice for everybody, and this will help you tremendously. One, again, take more training, pay attention to stuff in this group. Go into other people's groups. And this is where we talk about the basics of interdiction. And that's kind of the disconnect we get at some high level classes is there are people at this level who, you know, don't even have, and this is not picking on you. This is just, I'm trying to reflect this on everybody in the group because I know a lot of people aren't here trying to learn. You guys have to understand the basics before you get into the crazy stuff. I know in this group and other groups you see, you know, they hit 3 kilos, they hit handguns. But guys, like, where to start is going to be in that bag of weed, like winning. Oh, dude, I had this car stop. We only got a bag of weed. No, motherfucker, you won. Like, you won because you found it. Because you know what? Most people can't even find that. Or, hey, we found 3 pills. We thought it was going to be something bigger. That's okay. You had the same behaviors. You're on it. You're figuring it out. So my next piece of advice to you is this. One, now, if you have one person in a car, and I've seen people interview one person in a car, initial interviews, that's fine. But when you have 2 people in a car, you have to remove people from a vehicle and begin an interview process. That's probably your first biggest mistake, is not asking people to step out of the car and step off to the side of the road with you, or have them sit in the front seat if you're allowed to do that with you, so you can conduct an interview. And the idea is you're going to pose questions designed to elicit reactions, right? And incriminating statements. So you can determine whether or not you're in the presence of criminal activity. So that's probably the one, administrative support. Two, you have to have people step out of the car outside of their comfort zone, off to the side of the roadway or in the front seat. We see a lot of that tactics being done. The next one is you have to ask questions that are designed to, again, break down stories. And then three, you're going to have to ask a question that's very simple that I can't advocate enough. And you guys have to get past your fear of asking for this goddamn question. It's, is there anything illegal in the car? And at this time or moment, you're going to notice whether or not this person has a bad reaction. We're trying to get enough videos for you guys so you can learn this stuff, almost like doing a ride along, so you can see what it is. So when you experience it, you don't get like, oh, fuck, like, why did I ask that? Like, they're getting nervous. Well, like, it's okay. Like, people who are engaged in criminal activity are going to become defensive. They're going to get nervous. They're going to get angry. There's going to be all sorts of, but you're having a reaction other than a calm, like, no, man, like, no, there's nothing. Like, you want to search, officer? Like, it's usually like, no. Okay, so the next important question that you'll see asked by every interdiction person after you now begin to read body language, pick their stories apart, and figure out something's not right here is, will you grant me consent to search of this vehicle, right? And you'll see in the videos, and I'm not saying no is a clear indication that you have something, but let me tell you something, if they're hiding something, they're not going to give you consent most of the time, especially with now more educated criminals based on the internet and officers that are not educated. You have people who are educating criminals more and officers who are getting educated less, hence why a group like this exists and this advice exists. So what you should do at that point is make sure you have a backup plan, because when they say, well, I don't know why you're asking me that. I'm not giving consent to search. Well, that's fine, sir or ma'am. At this junction, we are going to call for a canine unit to respond to our scene to conduct a sniff of this vehicle. And, you know, you can play this however you want to play. You can be very direct. You can be vague. You can play dumb. You can play aggressive. You got to figure out who you are. But the core questions you must ask is there anything illegal in this car? Would you grant me consent to search? Of course, we know that you're not going to pose this unless you're at the in the spot where you've decided this car is a good car to stop. These people were good people to step out of a car. And then the conversation moved you. I mean, I honestly would always ask, no matter what, is there anything illegal in this car? I think that's a rule of thumb. And then I know for some states you need reasonable suspicion to ask for consent to search. But if you don't, and you know, I would always ask for consent to search, not just to gauge a reaction to see what I got going on. I'm not doing it to try to violate rules. I'm doing it to see what the fuck I got going on here, and to see what the response is going to be. And again, we can go a lot into further of like, okay, they granted consent. Now you move forward. We're going to search the car. Like, don't let somebody say like, yeah, you can search my car. And you're like, oh, all right. Well, they don't have anything then. Like, dude, like if you're there, stop talking yourself out of moving forward. Like, okay, we'll take the extra minute. Even if you're gonna do a half-assed search, like, you know, people I have said to me like, yeah, I'll give consent to search. I've gone back to the car. I filled out the form. I brought it out and I brought them over to the car. And we started going over it. And they're like, well, what is this? And I'm like, well, this is a consent to search. And I'm like, well, I'm not signing anything. Well, you can search like the trunk, but you can't search the interior compartment or vice versa. So, dude, be hip to the game. It takes a lot of practice, especially in the beginning. You're going to make mistakes and you got to like make sure your administration understands that mistakes are going to be made and you're doing your best to become the officer you're going to be. But again, to iterate, go find somebody that's good at this shit. You will have less mistakes. They will walk you through this step by step when you're on a motor vehicle stop. All right, next question.
Next question is like, if you have a vehicle, you see all the indicators, but like that, we have a long highway that goes through our county, and I followed this car almost through the whole county. I wasn't right up on it, but I was kind of behind it, but it made no mistakes. Like, I could find her, but I couldn't find any PC on it to stop it.
Okay. Let me, I got a good answer for this. You know what it is, dude? And I'm going to tell you, I know it. Listen, people call me all the time and message me, and I could diagnose your problems immediately. If you hear, I have an answer for it, not because I think I'm hot shit. It's because I've been through all this. I've helped coach a lot of folks. I was a field trainer. I'm watching what people do. I did it for 14 years. I dealt with criminals. And here's your problem with that. You are not taking the time to open up your motor vehicle law book and finding all the cool shit in motor vehicle. You are you know the 15 or 20 things that everybody else knows. And like, let me give you an example. In New Jersey, to make it's 39-4-126, our code's called Title 39. I know in other states, you know, you're going to have different like Title 4A, Chapter 6, whatever the fuck you call it in your state. But in New Jersey, for example, on a two-lane hot, 4-126, we'll go into this one first. When you are going to make a turn like a 90 from like going straight to making a right turn, you have to maintain speed, indicate your turn, and then you're allowed to decrease speed, giving a signal to the rear. You have to give signals to the rear of your vehicle to people behind you. Then you're allowed to decrease speed or hit the brakes to slow down to make your turn. If you do not do it in that order, then it's a violation. And if you think if you're uncomfortable making stops like that, this is not the kind of stuff you're going to get. You're going to be, this is not the kind of work interdiction wise and good, solid police work that you're going to be good at, because you have to get past these uncomfortabilities. And if it's your administration, you're going to have to clear that with them first, or, you know, give it a shot, throw the gamble out there. Like, oh, they're going to have a hard time with this. and see what they say. You know, usually you get like the like, hey, don't do that again. Or like, yo, that was pretty fucking slick of you to pull some shit like that. Like, it's not, you got to remember, you got to stop thinking like so orthodox. The things that we teach are unorthodox, but they're effective. You know what I mean? Like, because most cops aren't effective cops. Like, if you're trying to be proactive, like, this is the way you have to think. So, bro, going into your motor vehicle law book and taking some time to read through some statutes. Here's another one in New Jersey, and it's probably for every state. Every state I visited so far is the same thing. On a two-lane highway, you cannot travel in the left lane unless you're passing or overtaking a motor vehicle or making a left turn. Same thing on a three-lane highway. You can't be in the middle lane. You're supposed to stay in the right lane. You have to think of it as like, remember that old video game Frogger? Like, you want to just get past it, get to the next one. You know, like, you have to keep staying to the right. So take some time, dude. Get into your motor vehicle book and learn this stuff. Like, oh, shit, I don't know we could do this. Oh, damn. Like, New Jersey, like, you can pull over cars, out-of-state motor vehicles for maintenance violations, which violate Chapter 3 and Chapter 4 of Title 39 in New Jersey. You know, people that know that for how long? And there's guys watching this video who are new to the group right now that still don't know that. And it's one of the most effective tools in law enforcement for New Jersey police officers and police officers throughout the country, that you can stop out-of-state vehicles for maintenance violations to ensure the credentials are correct. So, dude, there's so much to know. You just got to do some self-education if they're not giving you. And, dude, I know you want to be good, and I think you have the potential to be good. And if you didn't, you wouldn't be constantly reaching out to me and asking me these questions. So I want to help you. You know, dude, maybe it's a good time to, as I get, you know, keep an eye on what classes we're doing and how far we are from where you are. Dude, do you mind telling me what state you're in? And if not, I think you told me already, right?
Georgia.
Okay, you're in Georgia. So, dude, like, I have a funny feeling in 2019 I'm going to be in Florida or Georgia. That seems to be a lot of guys in this group from Georgia, Florida, Texas. We got a lot of Texas people in this group. I actually had this conversation with my admin yesterday about, you know, these are the states I think we're going to end up at next. Very hard to tell, but if I'm getting to that Florida, dude, maybe take the 5-hour ride down. Or, you know, like I've told people in the past, anybody coming out of state more than 3 hours away is more than welcome to come to this training for free here in New Jersey anytime they want. I'm traveling the country. We hold a 2-day class here about 8 times a year in New Jersey. So, you know, dude, always welcome, but that's going to be the piece that's going to bridge the delta between you and that traffic stop and finding PC. You know, I look back at some times where let me advocate, like, never make a stop without having good PC, because if you fuck up once and they find you lying, you're done for life. So don't do that. You know, I had a friend of mine, we were riding one night and we had a car that was, bro, it was handy dandy. We caught it right at the border of town. We had about a quarter of a mile to make it happen. And bro, we had nothing. And you know, my partner said, he goes, dude, let's just stop it anyway. I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting it. I'm not. If we get caught one time, it's over for us. It's curtains. So we are not doing that. And let me advocate that you can win this game when you know how to play it and play it fair. All right. Next question.
The way we patrol, we move from different spots, so it's kind of hard for us to stick in one spot. And like I say, we ride as a team, so does that make it easier or make it harder?
The more the better, dude. You know, like, you're the more the better for me. You know what I mean? Like, if I was putting together a unit for interdiction, like, give me more bodies. You know, we're going to come up with different stuff, and you're going to bounce ideas off each other. You know what I mean? It's just like anything else. Behind the scenes, myself and other people who run these groups, Doug Wright and Sean Pardesi and TJ Cullen, like, we're all trying to collaborate to give everybody here a better experience and help our message grow for everybody. So, dude, it's more heads, the more better. You know what I mean? Like, as long as the people that you're working with are competent and not retarded, you should be fine.
Okay. We're all good with that part.
Dude, I'd imagine so. I was thinking about your unit on the way in, and I'm sure they're not picking people to not have that unit be successful. You know what I mean? Like if you're going to have a unit that's focused on crime suppression or addressing things, like, those are the times that, like, the captain's nephew really shouldn't be getting picked for that. Like, you want to give him like fucking training, you know, at some bullshit thing, but like, the captain really should take into account that his nephew is not talented enough to be at a crime suppression unit if the guy literally doesn't know what he's doing. Like, it happens. So any advice to anybody who's going to be administrator out there? Like, there's times to play politics, I guess, and do your buddies a favor. and your family members, but there's times that if you need to have success, you got to pick the right people. My friend Vinny said years ago, he goes, we have the right people playing the wrong positions all over this place. And, you know, dude, some people are just bench warmers and you can't put them in the field to play, you know, and that's just the bottom line. It's just the truth. And I'd imagine most people in this group are here because they are the star athletes or the upcoming rookies of the year in this group. Dude, I'm glad that helped you out. This is a good video. This is what makes these videos great. A lot of people are going to take it. I appreciate you having the humility to get on here and ask these questions. Dude, in closing, do you have anything else? Was that good for you?
That was pretty good. I got the binoculars and I've been trying to use them. I just got to get a little bit better at them.
Yeah. Do you see the video I had with Rob Ferreira when he was here, when he talked about the guy like hitting the other dude across the chest to wake up because there was a cop there?
Yeah, I remember seeing that video.
Yeah, so dude, good stuff. We'll continue to deploy a ton of shit. By the way, we're just scratching the surface of what we're going to plan on doing with police education. You know, time we're exercising, you know, aggressive patience, but we're diligent here at the office and in this company and with other people. We're going to do some cool shit. We're just scratching the surface. We have a lot of stuff cooking and, you know, hopefully we can get cops trained and educated in the proper manner, not at the discretion of some people who just never were cops. You know what I mean? So, well, with that being said, dude, good talking to you again. You know, you can always reach out and I'm going to be ending this phone call. So I'll see you, bro.
Appreciate it.
You got it. See you. Bye-bye. Guys, check out streetcoptraining.com if you need help or you want to send me an email, dennis@streetcoptraining.com for upcoming courses. You know, it's good shit. You see the stuff in here. We're doing some great stuff. We have some great instructors. We have great business relationships with other companies. We're certainly trying to do things. Let me just go back into the browser here and make sure I didn't get anybody got anything commenting. All right, we have no comments that need to be addressed at this junction. So with that being said, I have to wave so I know when to end the video on Facebook.